I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is the Executive Director and co-founder of First State Ballet Theatre, Christina Kamaloff. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you back in the studio. You're not a stranger here, but always excited to hear about First State Ballet and what's happening and what you've been up to. I understand recently you reached a milestone of 20 years with the First State Ballet Theatre.
Yes,
right?
Very exciting. We turned 20 on December 7th of 2019. So we've been, you know, just growing and getting stronger throughout the years. And, you know, the company has grown. The school has grown. We recently started a satellite at DuPont Country Club.
Okay.
And so we got a lot going on.
So let me ask you, without spending the entire 22 minutes talking about the history of First State Ballet, any particular milestones that stick out in your mind over the years?
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, our goal with opening First State Ballet Theatre was to bring professional dance back into Delaware after my husband and I moved here to dance professionally with Russian Ballet Theatre. So we wanted to bring back some professional dance to Delaware. And so we started First State Ballet Theatre with the intention of someday hiring dancers. So we started it in 1999, and then in 2008 we were able to, you know, hire 10 dancers, and that's where we started. We now have 24 from all over the country that move here to Delaware to dance professionally with First State Ballet Theatre. So I think that was a big step for us.
Now let's talk about your dancers a little bit. I'm intrigued by that. Connection to First State Ballet Theatre, is that a full-time commitment, or are they engaged in the community in other ways as well?
That's a great question. So we contract them from August until April. They have a couple of weeks off in between all of that time. So every year the dancers might change out here and there. Some have stayed for as long as 7 years with us, but a lot of them teach in local dance schools. I would say pretty much every dance school in Delaware probably has one of our dancers teaching or guesting with them for performances. So they do play a big role in the community, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, your dancers, they're all professionally trained. Do any of them ever get invited to be guest dancers with other companies?
It's interesting that you say that.
Or
yes,
should
they
I
do.
Not ask that question?
No, it's a great question. We currently have a student, a former student of ours from, you know, years back, and he left First State Ballet Theatre to pursue his training where there were more boys and more male dancers that he could aspire to dance like. And so he recently came back for a season. So he danced and he will finish this season with us. And he was hired by Singapore Dance Theatre. So he will be moving up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of these younger dancers can use us as a good stepping stone to further their career in maybe a larger company or just to have a different variety of repertoire or different experience.
Now, where do you recruit your dancers from, and what kind of turnover is there in your core group?
We have very little turnover, which is kind of a great thing. When people hear, you know, we've had dancers for 7 or 8 years, they're sort of surprised by that because we're such a small place. And we don't have a big turnaround, but some of our dancers will decide to pursue going to school. A lot of our dancers actually go to school at the same time. And they decide, we have a couple that have decided to pursue other careers this year, and they will finish their season. And so then we recruit from schools, competitions. A lot of dancers send emails. Pasha's flooded with emails and video auditions right now. So he's basically going through each dancer and seeing who would like to stay and then who he needs to replace. So he's currently doing that right now. So
now I would imagine by not having a lot of turnover, having a number of your dancers stay on for a significant amount of time, that is, I'm assuming that's advantageous because dance in many ways is a very ensemble art form. And for the dancers to learn each other's idiosyncrasies and that trust that is necessary on stage, is that advantageous?
It's awesome for us. It's awesome for us because they're a great core group of dancers. They're great human beings. We also know what they're capable of because we've seen them perform so much that we know what role will suit them the best. And so we love to keep our dancers here. Yeah.
Now, talking in the general, for any particular production you do, whether it be Coppelia or Sleeping Beauty, how do you determine which dancers will fulfill which roles? Is there an audition process within the corps, or how does that work?
Usually we know the principal roles, mm-hmm. and then you know what we do is we don't really do an audition, but we'll say, okay, let's just say the six fairies. You know, we kind of have an idea in Sleeping Beauty that this girl, this would be suited on her. But then we go and we teach, you know, all the females that we think would possibly be in that role. And then, you know, sometimes somebody will jump out and we never thought they would be great in that role, and then mm-hmm. they are. And so mm-hmm. So it kind of works that way.
Now, in addition, depending on the ballet, I assume you have to bring in, for lack of a better term, auxiliary dancers from elsewhere?
Not always, mm-hmm. but we are currently working on Romeo and Juliet, for example, and we have a couple of roles that are I wouldn't say non-dancing, but like Lord Capulet doesn't do much, or Lord Montague and Lady Montague. So it happens to be, you know, some people in our community or former dancers mm-hmm. who are now teachers, we will bring them in to do mm-hmm. roles like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also, in addition to being a presenting ballet company, you also are a teaching ballet company. Let's go down that path. Talk a little bit about the kind of instruction you offer and training.
So we have 7 levels of training. Our school is located on the 3rd floor of the Grand Opera House, and we have 3 studios up there, and we start with ages 4, pretty much 4 to 19 is the training levels, and then we have open classes for individuals who, teenagers and adults who maybe took ballet and want to do it more recreational dance. We have 3 classes a week for that, and we have a summer program where we bring in guest teachers and guest choreographers to do various different classes that they don't have during the fall. We predominantly do ballet in mm-hmm. our ballet school. Mm-hmm. So we are best suited for a child who wants to pursue ballet. And we do contemporary sometimes, and we do conditioning classes throughout the year. But predominantly, we're a ballet school. Mm-hmm. And then our outreach at the DuPont Country Club is for ages 3 to, I think it's 6. So those are the younger children that we're sort of cultivating there. And we've actually had some kids come over from the country club to go to the Grand.
Okay, I'm intrigued with the 3 to 6-year-olds. Is that more movement oriented, or is it actually the rudimentary ballet?
Well, you know, I actually started ballet at 9 and a half. So, okay. You know, I was, and you know, a lot of the professional schools in Europe and Russia, they start later, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little skeptical with this young age, and then I started teaching them. And I saw such a huge benefit of spatial awareness, of learning, you know, how their bodies work, and the benefit of just listening to music and learning how to even just walk on the music, or to walk with their, in ballet, we walk with our toes first, so it goes toe, heel, little things like that. And so the dancers who start that young actually have a really, really good foundation and awareness, and it just teaches so many things. Mm-hmm. So many things.
Now, in addition, I believe you have gone into schools, have you not, with some of your programming?
That's funny that you asked. We were just at Wilmington Montessori School. When was it? Tuesday.
Okay.
So we had one of our company dancers choreograph a children's ballet. It was brand new. He created this whole story based on fairy tales. So it was Hansel and Gretel and other tales. And he created this whole ballet and the whole story, and it was just great. And so we took that over to Wilmington Montessori, and of course the kids loved it. And mm-hmm. It was great. Mm-hmm.
I have some other questions to pursue about ballet as an art form, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is the executive director and co-founder of First State Ballet Theater, Christina Kamiloff. Christina, you used the term choreography, so I want to ask you this. Your dance corps, I think you said 24 dancers? Some of them also choreograph. I think many times we think of ballet as an art form with the standard ballets that are in people's repertoire, Coppelia, Sleeping Beauty, The Nutcracker. But there is ongoing choreography for ballet. Could you speak
to
that?
There is. Well, we do a series called Upfront on Market, mm-hmm. and it's in Studio One at the Grand Opera House. It's a very large studio. We sort of make it into a black box, and we limit the to 100 seats. So you're really up and close to what's going on. And Pasha's been great over the years. He always is very inspiring to his dancers because he gives them opportunities that a lot of directors would not give their dancers. So this is the perfect setup. So he allows, you know, if a dancer comes in and says, hey, I really would like to choreograph on the company. Okay, what do you want to do? And there's a whole conversation. And we just had a performance in February, and three of our dancers choreographed brand new pieces on the company. So they're choreographing on their peers. It's such a great rapport and energy and new steps, new ideas. And it was so much fun to see. It's so much fun to see them become creative and take charge. And everybody respects each other. And it's just a great environment.
Now, I've heard ballet described as the foundation of dance forms that have come since then. Could you speak to that, the relationship between ballet and some of the other dance forms that we've seen evolve over time? Because I know some of your dancers are not exclusively what we would consider traditional ballet. I've seen them do, you know, contemporary works that incorporate more than just what the novice like me would, you know, identify
right.
as ballet moves.
Well, pretty much every ballet company now is doing contemporary repertoire. So you can no longer just be a ballet dancer. Well, it was kind of always like that, I think. Well, maybe not always, but, you know, if you look back, I mean, here's just a little thing that people can identify with is if you've seen the movie White Nights, and if you haven't, watch it.
Mm-hmm.
there's a great solo that Brishnikov does on stage, and it's totally contemporary, and it's just beautifully done. And, you know, I would doubt that he grew up taking contemporary classes, but he's able to do it because he had this great foundation mm-hmm. of classical dance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful movie and a great story. And that's just one example. But most companies are doing, well, they're all doing contemporary ballets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we quite often will, do these sort of short pieces in our Upfront series.
Mm-hmm. Coming back to the kids, and you started to talk about this, but I want to come back to this. And that is for the young children and elementary age children, the value of training in ballet, even for those children who aren't planning on becoming professional dancers. What does ballet teach? I know it's used in sports training. I mean,
right.
what are some of the skills that ballet teaches?
Well, you know, the percentage of young people who are actually taking dance that will go on to become professional dancers is very little. But I highly recommend that everybody take dance in some form because it teaches discipline, attainable goals. This is, you know, something that a lot of things don't teach children is that, you know, it's the small goals. Mm-hmm. You know, today I stretched my knee and I didn't do that yesterday. So it's that sense of accomplishment sort of on a daily basis that mm-hmm. they take class. It teaches teamwork. It's, you know, when you're dancing in a piece, you know, whether it's a small child who does we do a showcase every year with our students, whether it's just like standing in a line, you know, or spatial awareness, that's super important. And respecting each other, it helps with math. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of math involved. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of thinking outside the box. There's creativity. And there are some studies that show that young children really need to be jumping around for developing bone mass because mm-hmm. They're not outside as much as we all used to be when we were mm-hmm. young. So things have changed. I think when I first started teaching, a lot of young children weren't jumping as much in classes, but now we've got them jumping in all the classes. Mm-hmm. I think it has a lot of benefits. Almost all, you know, a lot of our graduates go on to Princeton and, you know, Penn, and mm-hmm. They are very successful. And
for the professional dancer, we watch a ballet and we are inspired and in awe over how elegant and how graceful the movements are. And yet ballet is an incredibly rigorous physical activity. Could you speak to that side of ballet and how your dancers take care of themselves? Because it is physically demanding what they do.
It's extremely demanding. I don't think anybody really understands how demanding it can be. So our company dancers take class every single day. And the class is usually an hour and a half. And it starts with a bar and then they go into the center. And it's building, you know, it's a slow warm up and then it goes into jumping and turning and then on this side, they do a lot of conditioning on their own, or they will take some yoga classes, they will go in to get massages and things like that to maintain their body.
And the conditioning would be things like flex exercising, weightlifting,
don't do a lot of weightlifting, okay. But a lot of core exercises,
right. Okay.
You know, some flexibility.
Stretching,
yeah,
flexing,
that
sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, because I know people in the theater community who are primarily dancers. I know it can be really physically taxing, grueling, and I know there's a lot of care that comes in there. We have a few minutes left, so I know we're in a season of uncertainty for arts organizations, but I know you are looking at planning a spring production of Romeo and Juliet, I believe. Is
yes.
that right? Let's talk a little bit about what goes into the preparation of a production.
So we're currently in production for Romeo and Juliet, and Romeo and Juliet was choreographed on our company by Viktor Plotnikov, who is an award-winning choreographer and longtime collaborator with us, back in 2018. And we have beautiful sets that were created just for this production by Peter Tupica. And the actual costume designs are so beautiful. And Viktor actually did the costume design as well. He recently choreographed our Dracula that we did this October as a premiere. It was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And he kind of said, well, you know, I don't know if I have time to do the design. So we hired a designer. And I thought to myself, and he thought to himself, I think I did a better job. And he actually did. His sketches are beautiful. And so anyway, the costumes are absolutely beautiful. And the performances are scheduled for Friday, April 3rd through Sunday, April 5th. And, you know, we want the health of our patrons and our dancers and the staff. This is of utmost importance to First Day Ballet Theater. So we're sort of in an uncertain we're sort of uncertain if this will happen or not. But I would like to say on behalf of First Day Ballet Theater that everybody listening and everybody out there, if you have a ticket to an event, please think about donating that money back to that organization. Or maybe if you have some extra money, make a donation to the arts organizations here in Delaware so we can keep the arts alive here and thriving, because they're all doing great. But, you know, this is uncertain times, so we want to want everybody to be healthy. We don't want to have a production that's going to cause any problems. But so we, you know, we're just going to we would hope that our everybody would stay tuned to our social media. This is how we're going to get everything out. We have you can go to our website and sign up for newsletters. And so, you know, most arts organizations, you can donate online. They have a donate button. Go to that donate button and help all the arts organizations.
So what is your website for our listeners?
Our website is firststateballet.org, and First State is spelled out. So firststateballet.org. The tickets for Romeo and Juliet are currently on sale. And that's thegrandwilmington.org.
Okay. And I assume they can follow you on Facebook, and it's just, if you just look for First State Ballet Theater.
Yes. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, we're there.
So with any changes that might come up, people will can be kept up to date through your Facebook page or through your website. Well, Christina, I always love talking with you about First State Ballet Theater and about ballet in general. It's an art form that I confess is I'm less knowledgeable about than others. But what you do in that multidisciplinary art form with the visual arts and with the music and the dance is really quite spectacular.
Thank you.
So glad to have this chance to chat with you. Again, we've been talking with the executive director and co-founder of First State Ballet Theater, Christina Campbelloff. Thanks so much for joining us today.